Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For Christians, it can be very easy for us to subconsciously create rules that God does not give in the Bible, and then to judge other people by those rules that we have created. One area that is very common is in regard to our worship format and style. Some Christians say that only certain musical instruments are suitable for use in our public worship services. However, the Bible doesn't give any specific instructions about what instruments we are to use in worship. And in fact, the Bible mentions a wide variety of different musical instruments that are praiseworthy, are useful in praising our God in worship. The Bible mentions worshiping God with trumpet, with harp, lyre, tambourine, strings, flute, and with clashing cymbals. Now, in our church, we mostly use organ or recorded organ music for worship. Occasionally, we also use piano and guitar. Now, it would be great if we could make use of an even wider variety of musical instruments in our worship as well. So if we have people in our church who can play and who can teach the rest of us to sing along with them, please let me know and speak to our elder for adult discipleship and worship. But other rules that Christians have made that are not in the Bible are, for example, rules about against drinking any alcohol at all, rules against going to see any movie in a movie theater, against any kind of dancing, playing any card games. Sometimes, though, the rules that Christians make are not always so noticeable as those. Sometimes we're not even always conscious that we're making rules, but in our minds, we sometimes think that real Christians should act in this certain way, and then we look down on people who don't act in the way that we think that they should act. In today's gospel reading, we see Jesus teaching a principle about the way that we are supposed to treat others, especially how we are to treat people who break those man-made rules. Jesus enables us to show mercy instead of harsh and bitter judgments. Our reading tells us about Jesus and his disciples walking through a field of grain on the Sabbath day. Jesus' disciples were plucking and eating some of that grain, and the Pharisees accused them of breaking the laws about the Sabbath day. Now, in those days, there were no paved sidewalks. Often, people had to travel through or very close to a farmer's field. Now, they wouldn't just meander right through the field in any way that they wanted. No, there were paths to walk on, and often the grain was sown or planted right up next to the path. And so it was not unusual for people walking through or nearby fields of grain to pluck off some of the heads of grain, rub them in their hands until the chaff broke off, blow the chaff away, and then to eat those kernels of grain as a snack while you were walking along. In the Old Testament, God explicitly told his people that this kind of snacking on someone else's grain was okay, as long as you didn't take a tool to actually harvest the grain of someone else, because that would be stealing from them. But the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus' disciples doing this because they were doing it on a Sabbath day. God had commanded his people also in the Old Testament that they do no work of any kind on the Sabbath day. Now, God didn't spell out exactly everything that they could and couldn't do on a Sabbath day in order to be following this commandment. However, the Pharisees at Jesus' time were so focused on outward righteousness and on outwardly obeying God's laws that they actually made up laws of their own to set as a hedge or a fence around God's actual laws to prevent God's actual laws from being broken. And so they made up laws about exactly how far you could walk on the Sabbath, and if you walked any farther than that, they would consider you to be breaking God's Sabbath law and other laws about exactly what you could and could not do. For example, it was considered to be breaking this law if you looked at your reflection in a mirror hanging on a wall, or if you lit a candle for light in your home. But then they also made rules that would allow you to hire a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, to light the candle for you. In our reading, the Pharisees claimed that what the disciples were doing by eating that grain as they walked along was actually work, and that therefore they were breaking God's law. Now, breaking the Sabbath was a very serious offense. In Numbers chapter 15, we read about a man who went out to gather firewood on a Sabbath. The Lord said that that man should be put to death because he was disrespecting the Sabbath that God had set apart to be a blessing for his people. Working on the Sabbath day was considered a defilement of that holy day. And so that offense was punishable by death in the Old Testament. And so the Pharisees here were making a very serious charge against Jesus and his disciples. They were looking for the death penalty. They wanted very much to get rid of Jesus. But Jesus defended his disciples. He said, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and his companions?" The Pharisees were supposed to be very learned in the Bible. And so Jesus gave them a test. He used a story in which their hero, the hero of God's people of Israel, David, actually broke a ceremonial law that God had commanded, not just a man-made interpretation of that law. David went to the high priest when he was being chased by King Saul and King Saul's men who wanted to kill David. And David and his men were hungry from having been on the run for a long time. And so they asked the priest for food. But the only food that was available was the bread in the tabernacle that was devoted to God. 12 loaves of that bread were made each week and were placed on a golden table inside the holy place of the tabernacle. Each week, those loaves of bread were replaced, and then the old loaves of bread were eaten by the priests. No one else was supposed to be allowed to eat that bread. But David and his men were hungry, and there was no other food, so the priest allowed David to eat this holy bread. Notice the contrast there between the mercy that was shown to David and his men in that Old Testament story, and then the harsh, bitter judgment of those New Testament era spiritual leaders, the Pharisees. Jesus used another example in the parallel account of these events in Matthew chapter 12. He pointed out that the priests also do work on the Sabbath day. They circumcise baby boys on the eighth day, if that happens to be on the Sabbath day, and they cut up animals for sacrifice on the Sabbath day, just as they do every other day of the week. Nowhere in the Bible is there any condemnation against what David did or against what priests regularly did on the Sabbath day. The point is that you can't claim to love God and keep his commandments, but then be bitter, hostile, and unloving toward other people. The attitude that places rules and regulations of the church above loving other people is just not acceptable to God. Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man in order to help people. People were not made just so that they could observe the Sabbath regulations. The purpose for which God placed his people into the world is to show love and mercy in Jesus' name. We are not to be like those Pharisees who were harsh, judgmental, and bitter in their dealings with other people who did not do things exactly the way that they wanted. Jesus ushered in a whole new spirit, a whole new attitude. His was not a spirit of religious legalism, of a ritual purity that is unloving toward people who do not fit into our particular mold. Instead, his was an attitude of mercy, of love, and compassion. As Jesus himself told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is a very different spirit than that of the Pharisees, who did, it seems very clearly, come to judge and condemn. Jesus practiced what he preached when he prayed while he was hanging, nailed to the cross. He prayed for those who had done that act of crucifying him and who were still standing around and mocking him. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He showed mercy and forgiveness even to his own murderers. When we become like those Pharisees in our reading today, in our harsh words or judgmental attitudes about others, we actually join those murderers of Jesus at the foot of his cross. Not only does Jesus perfectly keep the law of love for us, but he also pays the debt, our debt, that we owe for being so unloving. Jesus reaches out to us with his mercy and his love. He forgives our harsh words. When the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he comes to live within us. He gives us new life. He enables us to love others as he has loved us. Instead of being bitter and judgmental about man-made rules in the church, we are enabled by God's love to be kind and gracious to one another. We've already mentioned some of the ways that Christians can become guilty of having that same judgmental attitude as the Pharisees had. Let's consider some other examples. For a long time, many Lutheran churches and other Christian churches considered dancing to be sinful. Now, certainly there are some kinds of dancing that are specifically done to arouse sexual desire, and that is certainly not a God-pleasing thing to do, but not all kinds of dancing are like that. Also, in the past, women were supposed to wear hats to church on Sunday, and they were looked down on if they wore pants instead of skirts to church or to other places. But there's nothing in God's word that spells out exactly how people are supposed to dress. God does tell us to dress modestly in a way that shows respect for others and for ourselves and for God. But it can be very easy for us to think negatively about someone else when we don't think that they are measuring up to the standard that we have set in our own minds about what is proper or improper. In regard to worship, some people want a worship service that is very formal, with little or no variance from what is printed in our hymnal. And better yet, some people would prefer to follow the orders of worship service that were in a hymnal that is 70 years old today, rather than the one that we use today. Well, on the opposite end of that spectrum, there are people who would like worship to be totally free form, with no set order whatsoever. And then there are other people with opinions on the matter that fall everywhere in between those two extremes. We can easily slip into being judgmental about others who don't share the same opinions that we have about how the worship service should go. But God has not given us any specific instructions in his word about what exact format our worship service should take. So it's not appropriate for us to judge other people in this regard unless God's word is clearly being broken in some way. The point is that we are to show mercy, not judgment, to people who do not necessarily march to the same tune as we do in matters where God's word has not clearly given us directions. We know that we do not always show mercy to others. Jesus has a right to condemn us. But thank God that he doesn't. He loves us and forgives us, and he empowers us to love others, just as he has loved us. David was merciful to King Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. David had an opportunity while Saul was relieving himself one time, and he didn't know that David was close by. David could have taken his sword and run Saul through at that time when he was defenseless. But David had mercy on him and did not kill him, honoring him. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, David still honored Saul as God's chosen king. Jesus was merciful to those who crucified him. Jesus is merciful to us, even though we also caused his death by our sins, by harshly judging others and all of our many other sins. Instead of judging David, the priest gave him the holy bread to eat. Instead of judging us for our frequently critical attitude of others, Jesus gives us his own body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. As a priest, he offered himself on the cross of Calvary for us. He suffered and died for our sins, including our sins of being judgmental toward others. He loves us and he forgives us. Because of his love, we can control our critical and sarcastic tongues. Jesus not only forgives our critical nature, but he also lives in us and loves others through us. We can now defend others with mercy and with kindness. What a joy it is to share this new spirit that we have from Jesus. He has given us a spirit of kindness, of love, and forgiveness toward other people who may not look and act exactly the way that we do. In Christ, we can accept people who break our man-made rules. We can show them mercy and love. Let's go and do so. Amen.